Today's scripture comes from the book of Luke. I know I've preached on this, but from a different perspective and different things. But Luke chapter 23, and beginning at verse 39 through 43. Luke chapter 23, and beginning at verse 39 and going through 43. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Amen. There's two key words here that I want to concentrate on. And the words are deserve, and the word is truth. And I think that plays an important role in the way our world and our culture exhibits itself today. We live in a culture in which even within the church, even, we feel as if we deserve things in our life. We deserve, that specialness. And we deserve to be accepted no matter what. And Jesus answers them with truth. "I tell you the truth." Now, there's grace and forgiveness and mercy in what Jesus is saying to this one on the cross. Now keep in mind, the other one who had no faith at all, who didn't feel like he deserved to be on that cross, he didn't hear those words from Jesus. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Those are great words to hear, but it had to be sad for the one who didn't hear it. For shortly, within 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour, they were going to meet God face to face, not just on the cross, but in heaven itself. And one was going to receive the judgment that was due, and one was going to receive welcome into the kingdom of heaven. Shelley Ann Fraser Price. She is a world-class 100-meter sprinter from Jamaica. You can look it up and you can see what I'm about to tell you. Back in April of this year, she, along with other mothers of the high school that her son was a part of, were invited to participate in a mom's race. So a 100-meter dash. Now, she's an Olympic runner who's won medals in the Olympics and in races with some of the best female athletes around the world. In fact, I can easily say and look out at all of y'all and look at me and say she could beat every one of us, okay? Even in our best. Even when we were 18 years old and could run our fastest, she would outrun us and outrun most men, not all, but most. So she ran this race, and as she took off, in the first 5 yards, she was already twice as far as the fastest other runners. By the time she was halfway down the field, she's already won if she started walking. And by the time she finishes, And by the time she finishes this race, no one's even close, remotely close, to competing with her. She just takes off. Well, she got flack for running in the race. People thought, well, you're an Olympic runner. That really wasn't fair. You shouldn't have run in that race. And her response is this. I'm a mom first. They invited the moms to come and participate. And so I participated as a mom in this race. And so excuse me. Little technical difficulties going on here. And I don't know why. There we go. So she participated as a mom, but people were concerned that she had run and she was an Olympic. It was not fair for her to do so, but she said, no, I'm a mom, and therefore I'm racing. And she doesn't just do a slow. She runs her fastest, the fastest she can run. She does her best. Isn't that right? Shouldn't you? I mean, you run your best and your fastest. And so it wasn't the other moms that were complaining. It was people online, probably not even associated with the school, that were complaining. I guess they would have her head say, well, let's give them a 15-second head start, and then you can start running. Maybe we should just get everybody that was running that race to tell us what their fastest time is, and then adjust everybody accordingly to start at the points where they would all just finish the finish line all at the same time. What a wonderful thing that would be. That's where some people feel like they deserve without being challenged to do their best. They just deserve the accolades without trying to do their best. You know, it is known in our culture today that they hand out trophies for 13th place. Don't raise your hand when I say this, but did any of you receive a 13th place trophy? Don't raise your hand. Not when I was growing up. We didn't receive any 13th place trophy. If you finished fourth place or further back, you didn't get anything, right? That was good, folks. That's okay. It just challenged people who didn't get it to try, what do I need to do to get better? It's just like receiving a grade. Getting an A. If you didn't get an A and you got a B, well, what do I need to do in order to get the A? How can I improve myself? Maybe I should have read the lesson or read the story, and that might have helped some. Or maybe I should have studied more how to spell that word, and I could have done better. And so it should be a challenge for us to improve. But we're living in a culture that just wants people to, just everybody, no matter what, you're just going to end the same way, at the same finish line, with the exact same thing, no matter how much effort or non-effort you put into it. And that's where people are addressing sin in this way. It's like, it's okay to sin. We're all going to end up in the same place somehow, same thing. We can believe whatever we want to believe. That's our truth and everything. No, the scriptures speak to us that Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It's just like when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is but one truth in this world, in this whole universe, of this my Father's world. This is my Father's world. It is his truth. And it's not whatever we want to make it up to believe. Otherwise, all we're doing is we're telling God what God should do and how God should act and how God should behave. No. Not at all. The church should be about truth. The thief who hung on the cross who received this truth from Jesus, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." He did not say that to the other thief. Why? Because the other thief said these things: "If you are the Christ," notice the question, "then save yourself and us and take yourself down from the cross." There was a question of unbelief there. Whereas the other says, "We deserve to be here," but he does not. He is good. And that faithfulness, that repentant heart and mind is what allowed Jesus to say the words that he said to this person, to this thief: "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Let's look. What did the thief on the cross who heard those words from Jesus, what was he able to accomplish in this life? He did absolutely nothing. Nothing. He did nothing to deserve his salvation. He didn't feed the hungry. He didn't bring a can of tuna for the or can of cranberry sauce for the food distribution. He never showed up to hand out food to other people. He never attended church. He never directly led someone to Christ, although we can say in Scripture that because of his action that people are led to Christ, but he never voiced anything or went out and witnessed to someone. He didn't take communion. He wasn't baptized in the traditional sense that he had water poured over his head or that he was immersed and asked, "Do you repent of your sin and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?" Although we know he's baptized of the Holy Spirit, but not baptized in the traditional sense. He never gave any money. It wasn't time. He died shortly after all of this was said. Why is this important? This example is given to us, and with Jesus, everything's intentional, even to the point of having the two people that's hanging on the cross with him. One who basically rejected Christ, and one who accepted him. The whole difference is, we bring nothing to our salvation. Absolutely nothing. When we come up here for communion today, we cannot come up here and say, "Lord, I've been faithful to you. I've witnessed to 10 people this week, and two of them accepted you as Lord and Savior. I went to the food distribution and I handed out food." All these things are good, by the way. All these things are good. "Lord, I read the Bible for 10 hours straight this week. And your word was just revealed to me. Lord, I preached to 5,000 people this week." We could go on and on and on and say things like that. But we cannot, you see. We cannot come before communion and Christ and offer anything except sacrifice, except for repentance. It is his gift for you and me alone. And to be honest with you, we don't want God to be fair. None of us in this room want God to be fair. For if God is fair, then none of us deserve to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not one. For when we meet God face to face, we would deserve our punishment of hell and second death. But because God is not fair and chooses to offer grace and mercy to those who will repent of their sin, then we can be received into His kingdom now and forever. And if we want to see those who have gone on before us, who have been received into the kingdom of heaven, we cannot come claiming anything of possession in our heart of gaining salvation, save that which is repentance of sin, humbleness of heart, gratitude for God being merciful, grace-filled, and all-loving. This is what He has offered to you and me. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, let us be as this thief on the cross who proclaimed Your goodness completely. And let us receive the true gift that comes from You on the cross, that forgives us of all sin and places upon Your shoulder the condemnation that was upon us all. Lord, we're thankful that You have not dealt with us fairly, but that You have dealt with us gracefully and mercifully and lovingly. And Lord, help us, each one of us, to not neglect to do the good things of this earth, because as children of Yours, we too are to produce the fruit that comes from the tree that's planted by the tree of life itself. And therefore, help us to produce the good fruit, not for our salvation, but because we seek to be likened unto You. We pray Your blessing upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.